Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, the Queen of Maine, and you know what? I got my own podcast. Yeah, does everyone have one? Pretty much, but mine's different because I'm going to help you like I help myself. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli every week is going to teach you how to have the fabulous life that I have. If you don't listen, you're just stupid and don't want to help yourself, so don't even listen. I don't even want you to. But if you do, if you disobey my orders and listen, you can go to feralaudio.com or download it from iTunes. But again, don't listen. I don't even care.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults. Okay, we're live in the studio with Rick Glassman. My blood is already boiling. Welcome.
What? Why? Oh, are you hot?
Oh, you think I'm hot?
No. I meant, why would your blood be boiling? Because I came here
like you had weird demands out the gate.
All right. Well, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Why don't you start with the demands, and then I'll tell you my perspective. What were the demands that I had?
You said I can't do this without a mic stand. I'm above that now.
Didn't say I'm above that.
What did you say?
I said, first of all, I was making a joke, and I said, I'm past that.
Okay.
And also, have a mic stand, and you do, and now you're using one too. You obviously thought it was a good idea. Was I being demanding, or did I come up with something that made something better? Next.
That's it.
Oh, cool. I was too demanding, where I came up with an idea that you agreed with.
Oh.
All right. Well, I walk in with a sandwich in a fun box, by the way. Give me that, because people... fun box?
Fun box.
Okay. And you go, ooh, what's that? And I go, it's just a leftover sandwich. And what were your instincts?
Ew.
Right. Judgmental.
Yeah.
Mean. Out the gate. I asked, where's the bathroom? You said, twice. And then you said, you'll see it. Couldn't even show me.
You asked me and I wasn't in the room. I didn't know how to explain where it is.
All right. And cue the music. Do you have a theme thing? A song? All right. Now.
Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thanks, Esther.
How's it going?
Didn't prepare again, huh? You just texted me last night, you want to do a podcast. I said yes. You didn't respond to confirm to me until this morning because you fell asleep 2 minutes after you texted me. And your opening statement was your blood is boiling from the guest that came to you last minute. And then now that we're getting started, and I'm, by the way, dominating this thing, you say, so what's new? Well, I've been doing a lot of really cool podcasts recently, so this is new.
Really?
Well, I've been doing some, yeah. I was just making a joke that this is new because it wasn't a cool podcast. I was just this is a really cool podcast. You have mic stands, you know, there's a bathroom that I have to find.
I feel cool.
Yeah.
It's all cool about how you feel.
Amen. You are as great as you... as your mother tells you.
So. Oh, then I am nothing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. You have a nice, supportive Jewish mom. My mom is cold. I have cold mom syndrome, CMS.
Do you have a regular mom or regular dad? I don't remember.
What do you mean?
Which one's Jewish?
Oh, you must be quoting my famous opening joke from 2009.
Yeah, please put your glasses up. It looks like you're doing a character.
They slide down all day. I don't know what to do.
Well, like the mic stand, you could get something to hold it in place. Maybe get them tightened. Get a lanyard.
Do you have something to hold yours in place?
It just fit.
Because you have a nose.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Why did you say oops? What does that mean?
No, it didn't mean anything. Okay. My mom is not Jewish. Therefore, she's like from Minnesota and is just like cold and not supportive. You have like warm Jewish parents. I remember we went out to a Mexican restaurant with your family for your birthday. They were awesome.
I don't think it was my birthday. I think they were just in town and a whole bunch of friends came.
No, I think it was your birthday.
No.
It was.
No, because...
Was it just... It was a family...
Yeah, it was just... My family was in town. I'm usually in Montreal for my birthdays. And I know that they don't come right before I go out of town. So it couldn't have been. I'm a man of deduction.
It was maybe the same night that we went to the yogurt place.
It was the same night.
And I was acting like an animal.
It was the same night that we went to Menchie's. And you had so much ice cream, but it was all in the sample cups. You just tried 15 flavors. Yeah. You were, I don't want to say were, because you are a big girl, but you always like to have fun at other people's expense.
So other people's expense? You mean the expense?
My parents were in town for my birthday, and we had to carry you off to this, from this yogurt high that you had.
I thought it wasn't your birthday, and your parents weren't at the yogurt place also.
They were at the yogurt place, but I was
It wasn't
just
even my idea to go to the yogurt place.
And you really should have prepped.
You're taking a text in the middle of the podcast? Are you?
I was, yeah. Taking a text? Yeah. And I'm leaving it, too. I'm not going to respond.
Okay. Take it or leave it. And you choose leave it.
Right.
Okay. Just making sure.
Right. Well, I figured I probably have a while until you... until you have... Is there a theme to this podcast?
There's no theme.
I like that. Like Seinfeld.
Yeah. It's a show about nothing.
Yeah. It's a stand-up comedian who just doesn't prepare. But that's like... They did actually do a lot of work for that.
It doesn't... It's a podcast. We're...
Oh, I didn't realize we were belittling what we were doing.
So, Rick, what are you doing with your time off from Undateable Live?
This could have just been a phone call, you know?
It would have been fine. I don't need to prepare, but you're making me feel like I have to ask you questions.
All right, let's not do that. Let's start over.
No.
Cue the music.
No, tell me what... How's it going after Undateable Live season 3?
How's it going? It's going well. Doing a lot of stand-up, and I'm spending a lot of time outdoors. Are you telling a secret to somebody with a nasal infection?
So that's cool. Congrats on the outdoors time.
Yeah.
That is fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Esther. So what have you been doing? What have you been eating?
Remember the night we were at Chick-fil-A and you made up the game Things Esther's Never Heard on a Date?
Yes.
And it was going on and on for hours?
Yeah.
That was really fun, man.
Yeah, that was fun.
Thanks for the fun times.
Yeah, that was back when we were like up-and-comers and like we just went out and had fun. And now it's all just podcasts and like pretending to sleep when your friends are telling you what they've been doing.
Ooh. And you're eating a sandwich. I think that makes for great podcasting.
It's from the Beverly Hills Hotel, Esther.
Wow, that is so cool. You're very cool. Did anyone ever tell you how cool you are?
It's my ma. I'm having an identity crisis.
Did you see this news story that people are shaming Hitler because he had a messed up dick?
Mm-mm.
Well, you should read the news more.
It's not a news story, by the way. That's a meme.
It's not a meme.
It's a joke that went viral.
It's not a joke. It's like an actual story.
Mm.
Maybe not. No, it's a news story. I think if you Google search Hitler in the news category, you'd probably see a thing or two about it. Anyway, people are like having fun making fun of Hitler for having a deformed dick. And I'm like, that's body shaming.
Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah. You guys are body shaming and it's not cool.
I'll tell you why I agree with this.
Okay.
With what you're saying. Not because I care about Hitler.
Of course.
Because there's other people with weird dicks.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're going to be like, wait, so now I have to feel insecure about it and I have something in common with Hitler.
No, you don't have to feel insecure. Nobody can make you feel insecure.
Well, yeah, they... If if people are making fun of Hitler for something that I have too, I'm going to assume that I will be made fun of for it too.
You could assume you're going to be made fun of, and you may be made fun of, but you're not going to be insulted or feel insecure about it unless you have your own issues with it yourself. That's the truth. I have a really big, awesome cock. And if that, for whatever reason, people started to not like
so
that.
So gross to say.
Yeah. And that doesn't make me insecure. Because I'm comfortable with my big, amazing, full,
please don't
hard
say it again.
Cock.
No, don't.
I am. But
I beg of you.
People have their, you know, their conditioning and their problems and their insecurities. And if something touches on that, if you're insecure about your silly penis and someone's like, yo, silly
you
penises are out
to me.
It's a hypothetical.
Okay.
Your fat, unattractive face, let's say, then if that's something that you're insecure about, then that's going to bother you. But since you've accepted that, it's kind of part of your identity. I'm Esther. I'm the not as good looking one. It's like, oh, he's reinforcing it. It's just kind of whatever it is that you feel at the moment.
Right. You're saying.
Take this pear, for example.
Okay.
If you only ate that shit, you wouldn't look the way you did. But instead, you have a body like the pear.
I was waiting for the pear-shaped body.
Yeah, and I'm just joking. I actually think that you're really, really good looking. But what? I can't just say that you're really good looking and you're going to think that I'm making a joke?
It seems like something's coming.
See? It's your identity.
No,
you're projecting that.
It's my relationship to you and all the things you just said.
I was joking. You know, I think that you're one of the best looking girls in Hollywood. Why are you laughing?
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
How come you never made a move on me then?
Because I'm not attracted to you, but I see how people like that thing, you know? It's like you'd be easy to draw. You know, like when people draw lines with just triangles, you could draw you with just circles. You do a snowman thing, but with only two balls.
Bobby Lee says I look like a cartoon. Is that what you're saying?
I think Bobby Lee's projecting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Although I do. I think you both look like cartoons.
One time Bobby was in the same room as, remember when Russell Brand was coming to the Comedy Store?
Vaguely. That's when I believe he saw me on stage.
Oh, I knew that
and
was coming.
Then introduced himself to me and then followed me and then never responded to any tweets that I threw out there.
Sounds right. That all checks out on
my
schedule.
Yeah, he follows me, and so that's cool.
Wow, that's so cool.
I figure that's why you asked me here.
No, one night when he was upstairs in the old video room, or Ebo's old bedroom, he was hanging out with Bobby and Russell Brand were hanging out, and I walked in and then like slowly retreated, and Bobby told me that I had the social skills of an 18th century ghost. It just made me think of it. But hey, look, you got to drop that Russell Brand follows you on Twitter, so it was worth saying for you.
I'm never gonna be worried that you're gonna say something that isn't worth saying.
Thank you, Rick. I feel so.
I never gonna say it's worth saying.
You know, I don't know what's going on with you because I blocked you on Twitter. What's new, man?
Oh,
I blocked you on Twitter 3 years ago. How's it going?
It's going really well.
Oh, good.
I didn't block you. I never followed you.
You did follow me.
I don't think so.
Why would I block you if you weren't following me? Are you crazy?
Maybe I don't remember right. You're not a very memorable person.
Right?
I just don't know. I don't remember following you. I don't remember any of your tweets. Okay. But I don't know what me following you would have to do with you blocking me, unless you didn't want me to see your stuff. If that's the case, why are you inviting me to your place here to do this?
No, you said something to me that upset me, so I blocked you.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I was just...
You must have had your own insecurities about it before.
I must have. You're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're always so right. Do you ever hear that a lot?
Do I ever hear that a lot? Uh-huh.
I saw that you made a web series. That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to like talk about how that came about or what it is?
It's called The Sixth Lead.
Okay. Is that because you're the sixth lead on Undateable?
Yeah, it was very inspired by me being the sixth lead on the show I'm on, which is called Undateable.
Do you really feel like you're the sixth lead? Like, does that come from a real place?
Yeah.
Or is it just a joke?
Well, I'm literally the sixth lead on it.
No, I know, but you could be the sixth lead on a show,
correct,
and not feel...
I didn't feel that I was on the show that much.
Okay.
I wasn't a huge part of the show, and which is fine. It's nothing personal. It's just, you know, the show is about something else, and me and some of the other guys are just ancillary characters. But I wanted to do more, and I have very good relationships with everybody on the show, actors, the writers, the producers, and I definitely vocalized that. And
vocalized what?
That like I want to not even that I necessarily wanted more on the show, which would have been nice, but specifically like my character at the time was very heavily skewed towards just making like uncle jokes and like talked about boobs, and he had no self-awareness, and I just didn't connect to the character that much, and I wanted to do more things, and I had a meeting with them, and I said,
"Who's them?"
The producers.
Okay.
And I reminded them about an idea that I had pitched to them like 2 years ago, which was, "Hey, I want to do like a show about a fake show about me asking for more stuff." And they said, "Okay." And I made an episode, and it was basically just a meeting with the showrunner. And
you made it yourself.
I made it myself. Well, they gave me a camera, two mm-hmm. cameras. There was no real production to it for the first episode. And I wanted to make it real. Like, everyone played themselves. I wanted to make
like
it real.
Like, not scripted. Like,
no, I scripted it. But oh. I played Rick Glassman, though I'm a dumber version of myself. And the boss, Bill Lawrence, played himself. But he, you know, he was the guy with 100% status. And I wanted it to be like kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah,
Larry.
Your heightened version
yes,
of yourself.
Yes, a very heightened version.
That's cool.
And but to make it real, I taped the table read. And then did the meeting right after so I could reference stuff in the table read. So all of my complaints were very real. I didn't have, this is all I got to say. And I saw my boss getting a little uncomfortable during it, which made for, I thought, a really good episode.
That's cool.
And then, after the first one, they liked it. They let me do a few more and they made like a real production out of it.
Wow.
It was really cool. I had like, craft services and security guards and PAs and like set design and stuff. I never, you know, we've done videos before, you and I. It's uh-huh. just YouTube videos, whatever we do. But right. they put some money into
it's
it.
It's like a real show, yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. It came out well.
It's surprising to me, too, like when I first did a web series with MTV, the way you and I think of web series, it's like, okay, it's us and a camera and we'll figure it out. But it is crazy that like there are people, networks treat them like a real TV show. And it, mm-hmm. I remember the first time I felt like, do we need all this? Like, this isn't really necessary, but I didn't say that because it's cool.
I said it to
and it was also too late.
What do you mean it was too late?
I couldn't be like, guys, we don't need all
of
you.
That's what I talked about. It made me uncomfortable because it's like, this is just this idea that I had, I wanted to do. But now that you're putting money into it and yeah. you know, you're renting equipment and stuff, it's like, does this have to be good? And it kind of put a little pressure on it.
That's how I felt too when I did the Esther with Hot Chicks web series. I was like, guys, I just pictured this like mm-hmm. sitting in my room, and they built a set.
Did you direct it too? Did you do?
No, I didn't direct it. DJ Doug Pound directed it.
And you wrote it.
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah, I had that same thing of like, this is surprising.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah,
people are taking you seriously,
more mm-hmm. seriously than maybe you expected them to.
Yeah, maybe. Came out, as far as The Six Leaders concerned, after I did it, I started getting a lot more on the show. And
really?
I was able to show a skill set that I don't know if people even knew existed or cared.
It's really surprising to me that they didn't know it before you made that web series.
Thanks.
Right?
I mean,
why would they cast you if they didn't know everything?
It's again, it wasn't about me. It's about what the character had to offer. Uh-huh. And this gave some extra ideas, maybe.
So you played the character?
I played Rick Glassman. The first episode was me going in and pitching ideas uh-huh. for my character, which were, for the joke, bad ideas. I was pitching like, uh-huh. I'm good at sleep acting. I'm good at, I could do acronyms real fast. ICDARF, like shit like that. And then they ended up putting some of those jokes in the show,
which
I didn't think was the best idea, because I said, out of context, these are jokes. Like, I pitched you fake jokes. Now you're putting them in the show and they're not going to work. And I remember one of them that made it through was the acronym one. And during the run through, it wasn't getting laughs. And I said, listen, I'm asking you, we don't need this joke in here. It was for the web series. It's not funny for this context. And he said, no, it's funny. You'll make it work. Because he saw it work
yeah.
on the web series. And we did it and it didn't work. So I think I might want to use that for when, if we come back for another episode on Dateable, we're going to probably do more Six Lead. And I want to Because I use real stuff and fake stuff.
You want to show that your pitch didn't work.
Correct.
That's awesome.
Because in the web series, I use a lot of like real footage from Table Reads and real footage from episodes, and I write stories around that to give a causality that maybe was inspired, maybe had nothing to do with anything. But now I could show, like, I could maybe have a meeting and like, well, we put your idea and it bombed.
That's
cut to
so
it bombing. And then,
funny.
No, it didn't. It's, but it wasn't because it's not live. People don't know that it's really live. You have to like trick me or whatever it might be.
I'm so glad you're doing this because I do think like a lot of my friends that are comedians on shows, sometimes they aren't necessarily getting to show how funny they are. And I feel like it's, you found something unique.
Thanks.
That's cool.
I've always thought that even before I got on the show, I would watch people that they weren't that funny. And I thought to myself, how'd they get that job? And I also thought they gotta be funny. Mm-hmm. Either this character's not in the wheelhouse or it's not exploring something well enough. But you see so many people on TV, you have to imagine that people know when they're not hitting. Mm. You know what I mean? Like sometimes someone's not funny on a show and they could be, I can't think.
I would hope, here's the thing. If they don't know that they're not hitting, they're not funny.
Sure. Right? But it takes a lot to get to a position like that. There's a lot of people that have to say yes. You know what I mean? Like, do you have friends that are working that you think are super funny, but that they're not that great on their show they're on?
No, I don't really think so. I just, what I'm saying is that there's so much more to them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you're bad on your show. I'm saying that I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not saying anyone that all my friends are really good on their TV shows.
Yeah, you have a really good core.
I have a really good core group. Me, yeah. Benji. Benji's really funny.
Yeah, there's a picture of Benji on the refrigerator with an X over him. What is that for?
One of my fans sent that to me. And I just thought it was really memorable and I would put it on the fridge.
Your fans send you a lot of stuff?
A lot of stuff.
Involves other people?
So they send me Benji fan art.
That's funny.
Okay, so I'm sure that you're annoyed with this question, but I have to ask because I haven't seen you and it's like I'm so curious. What is it like being on live TV every week? And again, I'm sorry if that's annoying. It just seems so wild to me.
It's actually, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that compared to not being, I'm saying that not just not to not working on something else, but I'm saying the show that we were on before it was live to when it's live, I wasn't sure if I'd like it going live because you don't get to do as many takes, which means you don't get to take as many chances. You don't get to improvise as much. But it turned into where we get to improvise a lot and we take, pardon the saying, I believe it's hella chances. And
hella chances.
It's insane. It's a half hour, or sometimes you do an hour episode. Instead of taking 4.5 to 5 hours to do a half hour episode, it takes either a half hour or an hour. We do it once.
You don't do two takes.
We do two versions. We don't do two takes. We do one at 5 o'clock for the East Coast, one at 8 o'clock for the West Coast. It starts at 5. If it's a half hour episode, most of them are. We've done a couple hour episodes. We do it from 5 to 5:30 live time. So we do it, cut to commercial. In that commercial time is when we go change our outfits. We come back, we do the next scene, and back to back to back to back. And it's just, it's live. And
do you feel like live theater? Like, what would you compare it to? Because it's
just theater.
Yeah.
Multicam is very much like theater anyway.
Right.
It's, you know, it's three walls. You're performing in front of a live audience, even if there are cameras there. But this is, it's completely linear. There's no retaking anything. If you mess up, you have to recover.
Acknowledge it.
It depends. Sometimes we acknowledge it. We break the fourth wall a lot. But if somebody forgets their lines, once Brent wasn't on set and he needed to be in the scene, so people, it was the first episode of the season. I don't think that it was handled the best way.
What happened?
Chris started the thing saying, man, we could really use Brent right now, which, by the way, his character's name is Justin. So in that world, who's Brent? That doesn't make sense.
That's hilarious.
Also, it was very obvious. Just go on with the scene, you know, just speak for him, get the exposition out. And then they in that scene, the middle of the scene, there was a B story where a girl thought I was blind and I didn't know that because I just got my eyes dilated. And then when I found out she thought I was blind, I was too scared to tell her I'm not because she was pretty and she really liked me. So now it cuts to me in the middle of a date and now I have to pretend I'm blind. So it's story oriented. But the beginning of the scene, one of the actors is asking for the other actor's name. Man, where's Brent right now? Yeah, I don't know. Geez, we could really use Brent. Yeah, yeah. And it's just awkward for 15 seconds. And then he says, you think that's awkward? Look over there. And it cuts to the story. And now I'm supposed to go back into this blind story, but no one gives a shit anymore. And now it's, you know, at the beginning of the scene, you also heard our showrunner go, yell Brent, and then it gets in. It's just like the sloppiest, most unprofessional shit, but it's also so real.
Yeah.
And anything you see makes it. So you know that if you want to take a make a chance that it's like, I'm not going to pitch this one to the boss. I'm just going to, you know what I mean? This is the one I'm going to try. Or if someone forgets something, you could say, it's just.
Does that ever happen? Do you ever try something that people are like, why did you do that?
No.
Ever get in trouble?
No, it's never. It seems to always work out.
Huh. So you think you know like the boundaries of what you can and
yes.
can't do pretty well.
Has
anyone ever like fucked up in a weird way that.
Yeah. But I mean, it's no more than forgetting a line.
Yeah.
You know, or no more higher stakes than that.
So if you forget a line, what do? Do you like call out line or do you just
It depends who it is. People have different skill sets.
What are some things?
Some people, when someone forgets a line, they forget their cue and then they end up skipping five
yeah.
lines and it's like, come on. Now we just lost 25 seconds and people couldn't do their joke because they dropped
yeah.
the ball. Sometimes you forget a line and you could remind them. There was one episode I thought it was, I liked the way I handled it. One of the characters had a wine glass in her hand and she slurred all over her words and she messed everything up. And where do you go from there? And I took the wine glass away from her as if she was just drinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other actors said, you're drinking way too much. And then we did like an 8-10 second bit on her drinking too much. And it seemed like it was part of it, but she just forgot her lines. And then we get to go back into it.
Oh, that's cool.
It really is closer to stand up now. Multicam versus single cam. Do I need to explain the difference so people know what that is?
Go ahead.
Multicam is, it's, think of like Friends, Seinfeld. It's
laugh.
Where, yeah,
there's laughing.
There's laughing. There's an audience. It's all shot on a studio in one location.
Right. A single cam is like a movie. It's
yes.
like The Office.
You
there's no live
angles.
Audience. There's no laugh
right.
track.
It takes a lot longer to do.
Yeah.
And multicam, it connects more, I think, with stand-up comedians because you're still performing in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
But just like as a stand-up comic, if you mess up or if you think of something on the spot, you could say it and get, you know, if the audience likes it or not because they respond right away.
That's true. The instant gratification of laughs, that's mm-hmm. big. The only thing that it's the very different is if I mess up something in my stand-up, I can go, oh, fuck, I messed that up. Like, oh, one sec, let me check.
But that's notes. That's how you do it. Not
right.
everybody does. That's
true.
That's not a device everybody uses. Some people, if they mess up,
They'll plow through.
Some people, if they mess up, they will play into that. So like when you trip, instead of just falling and say, oh shit, I tripped, you tripped and now you're on the ground and now you're, you know, you're crawling on the ground and you didn't mean to be on the ground, but now you're doing something on the ground. It just, you let it take you organically somewhere else.
Do you feel like doing a live TV show? Is that like something you're like, oh shit, I found my thing. This is what I always want to do. Or do you feel excited to get back to something?
I'm going to miss this once we stop doing it. I love it. I love directing and writing. I had such a good time doing this, the 6-lead web series I did. I want to keep doing that. I will always miss this for a couple of reasons. One, there's not that many opportunities to do a weekly live television show. It's just, it's one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of in my entire life. Also, from the writers to the actors, my best friends are on that show.
Yeah.
So even if I get on a new show that's amazing, I'm not going to be carpooling, you know? I drive with Brent and John and Allison. John Allison and Brent live in the building, same building as me. Brent's on the show. John Allison are writers. We drive together, you know?
And I just want to say, you and John DeWall are in me and Benji's short film, and you guys are so funny together.
Thank you.
It was so... That was the most fun scene to shoot because you guys...
Really?
Oh my God, are you kidding?
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, me and Benji are kind of just duds in general. And you two are like, bring the energy and you're so good at improv together, especially. It was so fun. If people haven't seen our short, that's Rick. If you whatever have or haven't seen it, Rick and John.
How do people see it? Where do we see this?
We see it's it's my pinned tweet. It's on Vimeo.
Well, I don't think I could see your tweets.
Well, you could go to Benji's bio. It's in his Twitter bio.
Okay. You really blocked me, huh?
Like 3 years ago. I'll unblock you.
It's okay. It matters not. it's weird.
You're right. I'll just leave it blocked.
All right.
I follow you on Insta, though, so.
Okay. I'm going to follow you.
But I don't care. What? You're the one that went out of your way to say you don't follow me.
Maybe that there was at least a bit of defensiveness, admittingly, in there when someone says that they block you and you don't follow them. Let them know, all right, well, I don't even follow you. I didn't come up here and say, hey, I don't follow you. You slapped me in the face.
I said, I follow you on Instagram, and you said, I don't follow you.
Because,
just keep quiet.
Because this is after the fact that you're saying, I'm going to keep you blocked. You're being a bitch.
You asked me to, you said, don't unblock me.
I said, no bother, because it's like, whatever. I didn't,
well, then it is whatever.
It's, yeah, if somebody blocks you, you have two options.
Uh-huh.
You could either be upset by it, Hitler little dick people, or you could be comfortable with the fact that it is what it is and it doesn't bother you. And since I now know you don't want me to see your stuff, you don't want to see my stuff, you have blocked me, I have accepted it.
It wasn't about, no. It's not about, can I tell you what it's not about? It's not about you not seeing my stuff and me not seeing your stuff. It was about a reaction that said, I didn't like what I saw. I have the power to block him.
Very good.
It's a little funny to me to do it. I'm going to do it.
And I know that you blocked me 3 years ago and have still done it now. And I have the power to think that's funny and not care and say that when you say you'll unblock me, I'll say, no bother.
Okay, great. But this incident that we're talking about is after this conversation when I said, I follow you on Instagram.
After this conversation, it's the same podcast. It happened seconds ago.
I said, I follow you on Instagram, though, and you said, I don't follow you. And then I said, I don't care. That's what we're talking
That's
about.
That's fine. You're allowed to not care. I'm just making a joke, letting you know that even though you blocked me, I don't follow you on anything.
All right, then. And I said, I don't care.
Okay.
But you know what? You didn't need to tell me that you don't follow
me. You didn't need
Instagram.
To tell me that you didn't block me or that you blocked me.
I felt like I had to tell you. I thought you knew also. We've talked about it before.
If I could do it again, I would then wait an extra 20 seconds before I told you I don't follow you on Instagram.
Why tell me at all?
Because I'm attacking back. I'm an alpha male and I'm competitive.
Okay, so you're admitting that it was an attack. That's all I needed to hear.
I already said I was being defensive, of course.
Okay.
I'm so not, I got, there's no ego with that there.
Defensive is not offensive. It was offensive.
Oh, that's funny because I always thought the best form of offense was a good defense.
Oh, that's weird. I never read that mug.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a mug that a lot of coaches say.
I didn't play
What's
sports.
The difference? When you kill someone in self-defense, okay, you're being offensive. You're aggressive. You're attacking.
You're defending.
Yes, and I was defending.
You were attacking.
They're synonymous in this example. If you slap me and I grab your wrist and it bruises your wrist, it's defense, my friend.
I don't know. I have to get my lawyer involved.
We have the same lawyer. Get him on the phone.
Should we?
No, he'll just ask how we're doing a whole bunch.
I know. Oh, God. Well, agree to disagree on basis that we have the same lawyer and don't feel like calling him.
I mean, I think we're just agreeing then.
Oh. You gotta check your phone, huh?
Yeah, I have people that I know that are nice to me. So every now and then, if they have something to say, I'll check in. It's actually from John DeWalt. Maybe it's something worth... Sure. We could give him a call. Do you have a setup for that here?
He once left me the funniest voicemail that I'll never forget. Like a 3-minute voicemail about how he started to sell vitamin water and if I wanted to also help him sell it. And I thought it was all real and it was not real at all. What did John DeWalt say? Anyways, you guys are really funny in...
Thank you. Yeah, we had a good time doing that.
What Benji and I call our theatrical vlog. And I hope people go watch it.
Yeah, if Esther doesn't block you, go to her Twitter and check out her pinned top
tweet.
And
if I have blocked you, you can see it on Benji's Twitter bio.
Did he? Oh, his bio. Great.
Great. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Wow, yeah. This is super comfortable.
Are you uncomfortable? That's
no,
interesting.
Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm actually surprised that you'd be uncomfortable.
You know, my favorite thing that anyone has ever said about me is that when you said that my boobs were a waste.
I know why I said that.
Why?
I want to hear your interpretation of it.
It was that I have good boobs, but they're on me and it's a waste.
It's like, it's like having a really, really good steak with just gross chimichurri on top. It's like, what am I going to do with this?
You got got it. You can't get underneath the sauce.
It's there. Yeah. You know, I get it. I see what it is. I know what it is.
It's just too hard to get to.
It's, yeah. And you could wash it and clean it up, I guess, make it a little bit better, but it's marinated in there, you know? Yeah, there's something about, I think it's because you laugh at it all the time, because I wouldn't do it. Obviously, something I said hurt your feelings once if you blocked me. I apologize if I...
It wasn't even a personal thing at all. So that's separate.
But I'm really not someone, I make fun of things. I like to be observational, but I don't really, I'm bully. But there's something about the energy with you. I think it's because you laugh at it so much. It just validates that style that I have with you.
I think it's, we are both like a perfect combination, perfect storm for it to happen. Because I love being teased. I don't know why. I just love when people are mean to me. It makes me feel safe.
Well, there's a difference between being teased and being mean to you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the intention of the person speaking, I think.
I think it's because my family was always, they always made fun of me. And so that to me is like that's my love language.
Oh, that sucks. You have a cold mom always made fun of you. And now
no,
you
my
think-
mom didn't make fun of me, but she laughed when the others did. Mm. But, and then you are good at being mean. And I know.
I'm just.
But I also.
I don't want to say good at being mean. I don't like to think of it as being mean. I don't think I'm being.
Well, I know it comes from a loving place.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Do you not do that to other people?
No.
Really?
Uh-uh. If I'm attacked, I go back. I get very competitive. But I mean, with you, it's that's kind of just what the dynamic is with us that's happened.
Well, also,
no, I'm not like that at all.
That's really weird to me and funny. But
have you seen me like that with other people?
Never.
I'm not like that. It's just you
You're
laugh
such
at
a
it.
Nice guy.
Thank you.
You fat fuck. I think it's like also when we first became friends at the Comedy Store, that was just sort of like the culture there was to make fun of me. And
maybe I'll buy into that. I wasn't conscious of it because the culture there was a lot of shitty stuff that I didn't necessarily tap into.
True. Also, I just am now remembering that you were made fun of so hard all the time.
Always, my whole life.
I just remember that you had one of the hardest times that I ever witnessed at the Comedy Store.
Yeah. People are so
everyone
fucking...
was so fucking mean to you for no reason. That's so weird. I'm just remembering.
Yeah. They didn't like what I did on stage and they just were mean to me about it.
Oh my God. This is so fun to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were totally picked on like the most. Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You still go there.
I do.
Yeah.
And I don't really get picked on anymore.
But maybe that's why you have... Do you feel like you have a defensive energy to you because of that?
Probably.
Do you think
not because of the Comedy Store by any means. I mean, growing up, that's definitely something that was ingrained into me. I mean, just having an older brother, which anyone who has an older brother knows what it's like to be picked on. But
yeah, my older sister, yeah, same. There's this, by the way, this Vine I need to show you. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's like me and Benji's favorite Vine. It's a little kid whips the tennis racket back at his older brother. And then the older brother, you just see him filled with rage and the kid just starts screaming in fear. And then just
the kid who threw the racket?
Yeah, it's so fun. I can't.
The first time... My brother used to beat me up, like not just push me, like punches, and like would sit on me and hit me in the face and stuff. And I remember I got bigger than him, so I kind of would hold, like I'm 12 now at this point, and I would like stop him, but I wouldn't hit him back, so he would still keep coming at me. And my parents always said, just hit him.
Really?
And I was always too scared to. And I remember when it was a week before my bar mitzvah, and my brother pushed me, and it probably wasn't even deserved, but it was just like enough already. And I punched him, and I don't know. I feel like he was being really dramatic, but it knocked him out. I don't really think he was knocked out from a 12-year-old punching him in the face, but he fell into the wall. He fell on the ground, and I ran into the living room, crying. And my parents were there, and I said, I just hit Matt. And he's on the floor, and I'm so sorry. And I was so sad because I hurt him.
Oh, but you were just sad. You weren't scared.
I wasn't scared of his reaction. I was scared, like I hurt my brother, and they didn't laugh, but it was like good. And I remember that response that they gave to me validated me in a way where it's like, yeah, fuck assholes, and all the bar mitzvah pictures too. My brother was a really like a black eye, and it's
sweet.
It's cool, man. Yeah, that's when I became a man. You know,
for real, double
I was
down.
12, yeah. But ever since then, I and this actually came up recently, and this is a recent conscious realization actually. And I was talking to John about it recently, incidentally. But I have very little tolerance for bullying. Mm-hmm. if it's me, if it's somebody else.
Yeah.
And
of course, it's awful.
But it affects me in a way where...
Emotionally, for me.
Yeah, because you said you like being teased.
But I'm saying bullying in general. I don't think you calling me a fat fuck is bullying me at all, because you see me laughing.
I also don't think... I think you're a very average... looking girl, you know, so I wouldn't say that if I thought you were actually ugly.
Yeah, no, I don't think that what you do is bullying to me. To me, that's friends just
I agree.
Having fun.
It's all about intention.
Yeah, I guess. It's just like, seems like a way to sum it up that I didn't need, but.
Right. Well, so when you're talking about blocking, there's definitely something in me that is, and that's why I was saying, and I'm very aware of it, but there's definitely something in me where it's like, I blocked you and I want you to know, all right.
You don't care.
If I truly don't, if I did, I would probably try to sell a way out of it.
Does kind of seem like if you truly didn't care that you would not say anything at all.
Here's my argument against that.
Please.
I knew that you blocked me. You told me that years ago.
Yeah.
We didn't have a conversation about it because we weren't on a podcast.
Uh-huh.
I'm just being silly with you.
Yeah.
Point is, you blocked me years ago and you told me, and I've never brought this up to you.
Right.
Because it's whatever.
Oh, I see. You're saying that you have the track record over the last 3 years of never having brought it up to me that proves that you don't care.
I don't mean to say to prove. I mean, I can't say I don't care. It means nothing to me because it's curious to me. But like, it doesn't matter. It's Twitter. Block me on Twitter. You still have me here. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. But to me, that's where it's kind of funny, maybe.
But I didn't look at it as you blocking me on Twitter. I looked at it as you calling me out. So when you said I blocked you on, if I were to see that you blocked me on Twitter, that would have been a different thing. If this would have been in a passing conversation and it came up organically, oh, that's weird. Why'd you block me? I'd ask. But because we sat down and out of nowhere, you said, well, I blocked you on Twitter. I'm not looking at that as much as why did she block me? I'm looking at it as you're calling me out about something.
I was saying it to possibly get a reaction.
Exactly. You were calling me out. So my response was to being called out. You could have said something else. You could have said, you know, your shirt looks like you're a dick, Rick. You got a bad shirts. And then I don't care about what you think about the shirt. I'm thinking, fuck you for calling me out like that. And I'm gonna get kind of aggressive back.
Okay.
That's where the defensiveness comes from.
Okay. I guess I follow. I think you kind of explained yourself, kind of.
Yeah,
I have a question.
I probably didn't fully.
Yeah, no, I said kind of.
Yeah.
I made it clear it was kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, question.
So defensive.
You said that you had this like defensive nature to you, and we talked about how you were bullied at the Comedy Store, and you said it goes beyond the Comedy Store.
I didn't think I was bullied at the Comedy Store. I think
you
people
were made fun of.
I think people
lot.
Were mean as
you
shit.
You were a fucking
people were mean as
jokes.
Shit.
Jokes. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but it didn't affect me the way it did when I was younger.
So this is what's weird to me is you're saying that people gave you a hard time when you were younger. My lip is bothering.
Yeah, I saw it. It's not your lip that's bothering you. It's that weird shit that's hanging off of it. It's probably getting in the way.
My lips are constantly shedding their skin. They're like lizards. Okay, that's gross. You are tall. I guess you're like kind of good looking, kind of not. But mostly you are because you have a fit body and stuff.
Huh.
Why were you made fun of?
Well,
you're not like a nerd physically.
You've told me.
Although mentally you are, I guess. You're kind of a dork.
I'm
just weird to me that you were.
I'm just.
You're like, you played basketball. Like,
yeah, I think there's.
People don't pick on the basketball player.
There's something about being really athletic that makes you like not a nerd. You know, because like I could dunk and I'm super strong and stuff. But like I also played Magic the Gathering and I'm a really good cook and I have a big, hard, white painted cock.
Please don't say that.
Yeah.
Ever
Sorry.
Again.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I don't understand what you're asking me. Why were people that way? It was just because of my comedy. It had nothing to do with me
your
being...
Your comedy in high school?
Oh, I thought you were talking about at the Comedy Store.
No.
Oh.
At the Comedy Store, I get it.
I didn't start playing basketball until 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a lot changed when I started playing basketball. I got a lot of confidence and I didn't become popular, but like that's when like I started talking to girls, you know?
Yeah.
But my formative years... Pre-10th grade, I was taking pottery classes and cooking classes and dance classes and
See,
playing
that,
Magic the Gathering.
By the way, so much more attractive for me to hear than about your big C word.
Yeah. Well, I've only talked
so
about it a couple
cuter.
Times, but it was for comedy.
Right.
I have a comedy cock.
CC Studios. the first time that I saw you at the Comedy Store, you know Boone Shakalaka. How would you explain him?
He's a, whether or not he is, I don't know, but he represents himself as a crazy homeless man who is aware of his crazy. So it's not threatening, but it's uncomfortable to be around one-on-one. And he comes around the Comedy Store a lot, but is also welcomed as a comedian because he does go on stage.
And he's gay.
Homosexual.
He's very feminine.
Very feminine.
He sells things for a dollar. I bought my bed sheets from
him.
Yeah,
he steals things and sells them, it seems
he
like.
He says that he has a hookup from
I believe that then.
And he, the first time I saw you at the Comedy Store, I was standing next to Boone. By the way, I always used to hang out and talk to Boone. And someone I was dating at the time would always tell me, don't talk to Boone. You should talk to people who are comedians who can help you. And I
mean kind of good looking.
And I saw, because you're like, I don't know.
I'm specific.
You're specific.
Yeah.
Whatever. But Boone and I saw you, and we were... No, this is going to actually redeem what you think.
Go ahead.
Boone and I saw you, and we were like, oh, who's that cute guy?
Yeah, you used to think I was really cute.
Yeah,
you
my first impression of you is that you were really cute. Like a tall Midwest Jewish guy.
Yeah, but I'm so like very close to New York, though,
that's
too.
That's what I'm saying in terms of why am I curious that you seem to have this defensive... And surprised that you were picked on, because...
I wasn't picked on. I want to make something clear. Other than my brother, I wasn't really bullied. I just wasn't included in things.
Oh, me too. I have this memory where I was at my aunt's house in Wisconsin. All the cousins were there, and I couldn't find any of them. And I
your own family, huh?
I was asking my mom, like, where all the grown-ups were talking, and I'm like, where is all the kids? And they're like, we don't know, shut up. And then like an hour later, I found out they were all in the attic playing without me.
Yeah, it's tough.
Isn't that like, it's really traumatic for me to be left out now.
Yeah, I'm realizing how traumatic that stuff actually is. I have a lot of stories of when your cousins would play in the attic without you.
But you were left out of stuff too? By who?
I lived in a development and there was a lot of young parents. So those kids that were a couple grades below me migrated a couple grades above me, but it was like this place where kids would play outside all the time.
Yeah.
And I usually wasn't included. If like the whole neighborhood was there, I would play too. People would knock on my door though.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my neighbor, people would, he always had a friend over. He didn't go to my school, but he was my age. And I always liked playing with him. And I would sometimes, but if he ever had a friend over, I remember he wouldn't want me around. I remember there was one time that we were playing basketball, the three of us, and then they went inside to his house to get a Capri Sun or something, I don't know. And I went in too, and then they closed the door, like, you can't come in. And then I'm like, but I, come on.
Oh no.
I used to go home and cry to my mom a lot about it.
Yeah, I feel that a lot.
Yeah. And then I'd go home and then my brother would beat the shit out of me, you know. It's just like, what's going on, man? I could cook, you know, I'm an artist.
I'm funny.
Yeah. But then I started playing basketball, and seriously, for real, I'm such a believer in sports for this reason, because when you're on a sports team, you're on a team. When you're on a team, you feel like you're on a team.
Yeah.
And there was something about the confidence and the friendship that I got from that. It really changed my life. And now I'm a TV star, you know, it's crazy.
Right. Six lead.
Oh yeah. Web series star. But
yeah, no, I relate to that. Finding anytime you can find people that you feel like you're on a team with, it elevates your quality of life to a whole new level.
I mean, you nailed what being in love is all about.
What do you mean?
I think that when you get in a relationship and you want to be with that person forever, the best way I like to describe someone that you're with intimately like that is a teammate. Mm. Like, it's not necessarily you two against the world, but it's you two. And if it's ever the world is against you, that's kind of a pessimistic way of looking at it, because that means you think the world's against you.
Right.
But in any given moment, you having that safety of knowing if the world does become against you, the world obviously is a metaphor from whoever or whatever it is. That's an obstacle for one or both of you at the time. It's you two are together against it. And even if you disagree with me, it doesn't matter, because we're both shooting on the same hoop. We both want to score. You know, you want to pad your stats if you're being selfish at the moment, whatever it is. But we both have the same goal, and that's to win.
I love that. I find that in some of my relationships, friendships, etc. Something that's really helped, and I'll sit with Benji. Sometimes when we fight, I'll try to remind him well, just the reminder of like, we want the same thing here. So let's like start operating from that place. Like yeah. we want the exact same outcome. So if we just like remember that, we are a team and we shouldn't be fighting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For all relationships.
Yeah. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And on that note, I want to say, Rick, thank you so much
for cue the music.
For coming to my show.
Sure.
It was really fun seeing you this week. It's cool that you said yes last minute to come here.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm really excited for myself and for everyone else to check out The Sixth Lead.
Go to thesixthlead.com.
Okay.
It's on NBC.com and Hulu, but it's kind of hard to find. I just posted YouTube links of it on thesixthlead.com, which is the easiest way to see it.
Okay, cool. And also see Rick in my short film on my Twitter page. You know my Twitter.
Shouldn't you give a link or something? It's too hard. You just buy like estersvideo.com or something, you know, just so you could send people there.
I feel like it's, but I'm not like pushing it, you know?
Well, yeah, you are. That's exactly what you're doing right now. It's $8 a year.
I think to you, like view, like it's on Vimeo. It's like not a views thing. It's more just like.
No, but for people to see it, instead of you're giving them what's it called?
An obstacle.
No. Yes. But when, you know, bachelorettes do that. Thing it's like what? You know I need a guy who has his birthday is in July and
what are you, what's
you know where you go like you a hunt
treasure hunt
come on
difficult journey a search
a difficult journey thank you that's what I'm talking about what's it called you know what I'm talking about
I'm never gonna be the person that thinks of the word we can't think of that's not my place in this society
you know you go and it's like find the letter under the desk and the letter it's like
treasure
go
hunt
yeah
scavenger hunt I did it.
Yeah. You're sending people on the scavenger hunt instead of just saying go to.
I've always been that way though.
Yeah, but maybe that's.
It's kind of my brand. It's no, like if you want me, you got to really work for it a little.
Can I ask you something?
Please.
Think about what you just said. I'm not joking. Think about what you just said and why you maybe feel that way. You said if there's something that you want from someone or they want from you, you kind of want them to have to work for it.
Yeah.
Think about how shitty that is.
Well, I don't
to
like.
To prove to you. Something?
It's more just like, I didn't think of the website.
No, I don't think it is. I think that's what it was subconsciously, but you are sabotaging yourself.
You gotta earn it if you want to see my video.
But people don't want to earn it. Did you make it so people could go out of their way for you? Or did you make it to show what you could do and you want people to see it?
I do want people to see it. It's on my Twitter. There's like no easier way.
Yep, there is. Instead of going to twitter.com/Esther Pravitsky, I'm assuming.
Little Esther.
Right, already difficult. Then you could just go to www.movieester.
I'll bring this up with Benji and we'll see what he thinks.
All right, cue the music.
Rick, is there anything else we can say to find you? This has been so fun.
You can find me at Twitter at Little Rick. No, it's Rick Glassman. Everyone should just, it should just be their name, you know?
I totally disagree. I love my Twitter handle. I think it gave me a little nickname that people like.
Yeah, I agree. I think for you it works.
For me it works.
Yeah. For you it works. That's it.
I kind of want to keep hanging out, but I feel like we should just end it.
Well, I mean, you have 7 more minutes to make it an hour. We could just listen to the birds.
Yeah, we could. All right, bye.
Feral Audio.
Want to tell you guys about a really cool thing that Randy and I have been working on, and Dan's been involved in this as well.
Yes, we're building a fort.
We are building a fort. Now, in some ways, we kind of are.
A comedy fort of sorts.
One of my favorite things that I see on social media is when someone posts a text chain between them and their mom, or mm-hmm. them and a funny friend.
Or two comedians.
Two comedians, and you get to see the interaction back and forth, which is so fun. At times, there are text chains that we are on, the three of us, that the funniest things ever that only the three of us get to see. So we had the idea, along with a couple other people, wouldn't it be great to allow people to be a fly on the wall of these conversations that happen between funny friends of ours and funny people just back and forth? To us, it would be really fun. And so that is sort of the germ of the idea of a special app called Banter. And we want you guys to try it and check it out. All you got to do is sign up for it. It's free. Find it in the App Store. It's called Banter, B-A-N-T-E-R. Get the app. It's free. We want you guys to check it out and just pick conversations that are between two people. And the conversations play out in real time and you get to hear it. It's curated, so nobody's going to be embarrassed.
Right.
It's the best stuff. But again, if you have a couple of minutes, you're sitting on the toilet, you're waiting for a train, you're hanging out somewhere, when you want something, because so many times this happens to me where I want
just a quick blast of something funny.
A quick blast of something and Twitter doesn't give it to me. I want to see this conversation happening between two really funny people and just get a laugh. We all need that in our day. So in order to do that, check out Banter and just download the app and let us know what you think about it.